welcome to our Biz Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Cuthbert, Creative Director at Baker Creative. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please hit subscribe so you can get notified when new content comes out. Please share this with anyone who could be inspired by it.
Edwina Blackwell Clark was named executive editor of the Columbus Dispatch in June 2022 after serving in communications roles for the Alzheimer's Association as director of public relations for Central State University and director of marketing and college relations for Rhodes State College, previously involved in the news business from 1998 to 2011 with Cox Media Group Ohio, the Middletown Journal, Hamilton Journal News, and Dayton Daily News. She earned a bachelor's degree in communications from Ohio University with an MBA from University of Dayton. Welcome.
Welcome, Edwina. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. And thank you for the invitation.
Oh, yes, of course. So I was really excited to see a woman running a dispatch. That's fantastic. And I know, you know, what was it like returning to the news business after being, you know, in a different space in the education space?
Absolutely. You know, I actually am just thrilled, and I feel honored to have this opportunity. I've spent the last 10 years in higher ed and also in nonprofit. And so to be able to come back, I've always had this secret desire to possibly come back to the media. And oh my gosh, what a door opening and what an opportunity this is. So I was really thrilled. I was really thrilled to come back. And I was also excited to be able to bring that perspective of being a long time obvious supporter of newspapers and a newspaper reader, but to bring that perspective of, hey, I wasn't a newspaper employee for 10 years, and how my reading habits were, and help remind the newsroom that we always have to produce compelling content, and we've got to push it out to people. We can't expect people just to wait till whatever time that we put information out. You know, when you think of all the changes that have happened in the industry, in the news industry in the last 10 years, oh my goodness. So I'm excited to be able to bring that perspective back into the newsroom.
So from your perspective, what kind of shifts have you seen, good or bad, in the last 10 years? And how do you see the future of the newspaper space?
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the greatest shift, and there's been lots of shifts, obviously, but the greatest shift has been the rise of partisan media and partisan viewpoints, and people being able to get that partisan view, whether it's in blogs or social media or cable or what, it doesn't matter, but the rise of partisan viewpoints. And the reason that is the most significant thing to me, because it really tells, we must have a space for objective journalism. You can't be an informed citizen without objective journalism. And so that just raises the importance of what we do and what we try to do every day. That, when people say that they saw a particular story or something, and particularly on social media, and I always ask them, well, what was the source? I'm trying to train people to pay attention to the source, because depending upon the source, you know, there could be a viewpoint or something like that. So to me, that is one of the greatest influences and things that have changed in the last 10 years. Clearly, when you look at technology and people getting information from social media, there's all types of studies that younger people are getting their information from social media. And so as a regional newspaper, we've got to be there. So we've got to make sure that we are putting our content on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter so that we're there where they are consuming other news. That's another big trend to me, which is not just social media, but the need to push information out to where the readers are. We cannot expect them to come to us all the time. We've got to meet them where they are, and people want to be in the know. It's a 24/7 environment, so people want to be a know. They want to be able to have that conversation with their loved ones or their friends or whatever. And so certainly there's a balance between being fast and all of that, but we've got that's the culture that we're in, and so we have to adapt. We have to adapt.
I totally agree. If over 60% of folks are getting their news just on Facebook alone. You know, in a soundbite kind of society, how do we entice people to want to learn more and to click through and to read the whole article rather than everything sound bites, I'm good enough to move on?
Yeah, well, a lot for us, we the other interesting thing, it's a great thing, is that we pay attention to analytics. We've got live dashboards. We know what headlines are working. We know how to craft a headline to draw someone in to want to read the rest of it. We know how many page views and how many subscribers are clicking on it, or how many people are subscribing to the Dispatch because they want to read that content. That is helpful for us because it helps guide us in this area that you're just talking about, which is, how do we get, how do we put present information that people will want to read?
Now, how has citizen journalists impacted the business?
Citizen journalists provide information many times at a level that we can't go to. In terms of, that sometimes they're providing information about their neighborhood or something like that. But just as I'm trying to educate people about the source, you have to that's part of the source. Or have they been trained? And this is, this is the society that we're in. Everybody thinks that they can be a journalist. Everybody, we've got cameras on phones. We're recording videos taken by citizens have changed laws and all other sorts of things. So there is a part of everyday individuals who can contribute to information that is being disseminated within society. My point, though, is that we just have to watch. We got to understand. And so that's why it's important for me in terms of when I think about social media or the digital space that we are branding ourselves appropriately. They know if there's a Dispatch person, whether it's a Dispatch reporter and they're tweeting something on their own personal account, that they know that it's something connected to the Dispatch and that should be trusted. It's a trusted news and information source for this community.
I agree. I totally agree. Because sometimes people don't understand what sources are, like you said before,
Yes.
and they just hear third party and, and this is me being sarcastic. Everything online is also true,
Right.
right?
Thank you for being sarcastic.
Just wanted to preempt that. So, being as the first female and the person of color leading the Columbus Dispatch as an executive editor, what opportunities does this present to you to make an impact?
A couple of things. When I think about my own personal professional journey, I had mentors. I had people that believed in me and could see things in me that I couldn't see at that time. I had people who opened the door and provided opportunities for leadership for me so that I could grow and, of course, be ready for this kind of position. And that was something and continues to be something that I care deeply about because it's so necessary to grow the next generation of talent, to grow the next generation of talent. And so what, I am thrilled and honored to be the first, but I don't want to be the first and I don't want to be the only. And so it is my job as the executive editor, I need to bring along that entire staff. I need to grow this staff. I need to understand what their career aspirations are. I need to provide training and opportunities and so that we can promote from within and those sorts of things. So, you know, I'm taking my cue from what happened to me, that people invested in me, the organizations and the newspapers I worked for thought enough of me to invest in me and to see me grow. And so that's what I've got to do. That's what I've got to do. So that once again, that I'm not going to be the only, and that we will continue, because I just think it's so important that everyone has opportunity. That's the part about equity. We want everyone, not just one group, or everyone's got to have opportunities, and they need to have the same opportunities. And so that's important. And hopefully that is something that you'll see me focus on in my tenure.
What kind of advice would you give young journalists wanting to get into the industry?
Well, let me say, I just say, first of all, we need you. We need young journalists. We really do. I don't, you know, sometimes there's so much negativity about the news industry, and particularly about print. Oh my gosh, we absolutely need you. We want to hear your perspectives. We want to, I mean, a great newsroom is where you merge the strengths of younger reporters, probably more digitally inclined, who can teach some of the more seasoned reporters. And then for the seasoned reporters, to help the younger reporters in reporting. How do you do a big story? How do you improve your interviewing? That's really the best newsroom environment, where both of those, you know, both of those categories of individuals are feeding on each other and are helping each other. And so we, you know, where technology is right now and the digital space in terms of pushing out news and information, obviously it will be growing. It something new is going to come out. And so we need that young talent to come into this industry. I told somebody in another interview, I so want us to win. We have got to win in this space. And it's going to take different thinking. It's going to take younger people. It's going to take a lot. And so that's what I would tell them. There is a role for you and there is a future for you in this industry.
Do you think there is a distinct mindset between, you know, the younger journalists and the more seasoned journalists? I mean, do you feel like it's easily merged?
I actually think it's easily merged. Where I personally see the difference is you'll see maybe some of the younger journalists who will automatically use social media to amplify their stories. They'll tweet out their own stories. You know, they won't wait for dispatch.com or the Dispatch's Facebook account to push it out. They'll tweet out their own stories. They'll experiment with TikTok and videos, and how do you utilize videos to provide another perspective to the audience. They're naturals. They just are naturals at that, which is okay, which is great. And so, but once again, to me, the best newsroom is where you have the strengths of both there, and you can execute that. And so, and what that really means is that it gives our audiences all kinds of different ways to consume news. You know, we obviously we've got the Columbus Dispatch, the printed product. We've been here 151 years, but we've got all sorts of other things. We've got dispatch.com. We have podcasts. We've got videos. We have email newsletters. We have news alerts. We've got all kinds of, we've got apps. There are all kinds of ways for individuals to engage with our content. And that's, in the end, that's what we want. We want people to engage with our content.
And what impact has the mobile newsroom made overall for the Dispatch?
The mobile newsroom has been a great initiative for us. That started before I got here, but I am supportive and I love it, because it is an acknowledgement from this newspaper that there are communities that in the past we have not done a great job of covering. Mm-hmm. And we are not going to wait for them to come to us. We're going to go to them. and we're going to embed ourselves in. That's what the mobile newsroom is about, where we take a couple of reporters and we embed ourselves in that neighborhood for a month, 6 weeks, and we find the stories, we find the sources. Like, oh, this is great. So it's a win-win for both. We have an opportunity. We're partner with the Columbus Metro Library. So most of the time when we do mobile newsroom, we utilize a public library branch as our office, as our mobile office. And so people, you know, with the library and a community, people are coming in and out. We have an opportunity to talk with them and hear what the stories are and have people in the community take us on tours of the community so that we really can understand them. But then the other great thing is after we leave, how do we utilize those sources in other stories that we've met a whole new set of individuals that can be sources for stories in the future.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, you can't get anywhere closer to the reader. I mean, you're really.
Yes, I love it. It's a great, it is a great opportunity. We just finished our latest iteration was in Linden, and we will be doing another neighborhood in January.
So I understand there's a storytellers project, and how has it helped personalize the theme for each show of the community?
That's a really interesting, we've had two of them. And actually I went to the last Storytellers Project event. It happened right before I started. So it was like in June or so. And I've never seen anything like it before. I loved it. It was four individuals basically telling their truth, you know, something that they care about. And the selection of the individuals that participated was and the differences of their perspectives of the in terms of in the community was it was pretty amazing. It was very special, very special. We have staff after they go through the selection process, we have staff that work with the individuals selected to kind of bring to life their story, you know, give them the courage and the strength to tell it in the most engaging way as possible. And I was really blown away. I really was blown away. To me, the Storytellers Project is very similar to the mobile newsroom. It helps us engage with different segments of the community and hear those stories and then build those sources. Okay, well, we were just having, when Roe v. Wade was knocked down, and we were looking for people in the community to react. And one of the things that was, well, what about the people that were in the Storytellers Project? I mean, it would be fabulous, you know? So it's a great initiative at the time. But one of my things is, how do we utilize that as we go forward and continue to utilize those sources and those connections to the community?
So being an editor, what is the biggest challenge do you find? Because, you know, there's a financial side of the paper, you know, and running it as a business, but also trying to do the right stories and having that balanced view. How do you approach that?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is to, and it's always been in my perspective, balancing resources with all of the stories and all the needs and all the things that can be told. I mean, when you think about, you know, Columbus and Franklin County, it's growing. Central Ohio is a booming place. It is growing. And not just in Columbus proper, but when you look at the growth in Delaware County and those sorts of things, you've got on the business side, you've got Intel coming in, and it's like, oh wow. So how do we prioritize? Mm-hmm. How do we be responsive to the people who are sending press releases and are emailing us and all that sort of thing, but making sure that we also have our eye on the big picture and the things that we're talking about. What do people need to know? You know, that sometimes there are things that absolutely you're going to hear about, they're breaking news or it's a big story, but the things that people need to know, what those that are underserved, those that don't have a voice, those who are maybe suffering in the community. And unless we tell that story, you wouldn't know about it, you know? So I think that, you know, we are, and the newspaper is part of that social fabric of the community. And so for me, it is how making sure that balance is good between resources that we have and what we should be covering. That is, to me, the biggest issue.
So then what is your vision for the future of the dispatch?
Absolutely. So I'd like to tell people that the dispatch, I want to remind people that the dispatch right now is a multimedia company. Mm-hmm. And once again, we, you know, the foundation of how we report news and how we cover this community, all that sort of thing, is still the same. That has not changed. But in my perspective, what has changed is how we push that information out. So what I've told the newsroom is we are going to cover this this community like we have done for 151 years. We're going to provide the information that people rely on us for, but we're also going to be aggressive and we're going to accelerate our digital initiatives, because that once again, those are those tools of how we engage with people. And my other future goal, I've got to find the new audiences. Hey, I'm trying to grow. We must grow our impact. We've got to grow the number of subscribers, whether they are print or digital. We've got to individual. Let's see, in October, I think we had over 108,000 unique visitors to our website. So some of those are subscribers, some of them are not. So we have to kind of continue to build that content that people keep coming back. They keep coming back. It is something I need. And thus, I'm going to subscribe. So that is my charge, is to make sure that we continue to provide solid journalism, but we're also accelerating and we're innovating in terms of how we present things. These days, hey, we can do a Q&A, we can do a video. You might see if you're reading one of our stories online, you might see a link to an audio clip of the source talking within the story. You might see a little bit, all sorts of more engaging opportunities to engage content. And so we're going to take advantage of that. We're going to grow that area.
So being on both sides of both in the news and outside of the news, what do you think the biggest mistake you see a lot of women business owners or women running businesses make?
I've never been a business owner, but I will just say something that I certainly see is sometimes I see women have to work harder to get connected to resources that are there, programs that can help them, people who can mentor them. You just got to work hard. I mean, I'm not saying they should work harder. I'm saying my observation is that they have had to work harder to advance and get the things that they need to grow their enterprise, to grow their businesses. And I think part of that is, once again, it's no different within an organization than outside of an organization. They have to seek mentors and people who've been down that path and can help them to connect, and those that have the resources or the capacity to create programs that can help scale businesses need to do it. And they need to find who are the people that need the most help. How do they make that simple, so that, because that's really what it's about. I mean, that's a win-win for everybody if we're able to scale businesses and provide them opportunities, you know, whether it's in the construction industry or not. How do you get the contract that can, you know, and if you get the contract, how do you make sure that you have capacity within your organization to be able to satisfy the contract? All of those things. So once again, I've been on several chamber boards, but I've never been a business owner myself, but that's kind of what I see.
So when it's all said and done, what kind of legacy would you like to leave?
I want to make sure that the Columbus Dispatch is stronger than when I got here, that it is 100% well positioned to expand and to be much better in the future, and that that foundation, that structure has been put in place so that if I leave and someone else comes in, there's a great foundation, just as there was a great foundation when I came. I'm not saying there was a great foundation when I came. I've got to do that for the next person. I've got to do that for the next person, because the legacy and the mission that we have is greater than one individual. It's greater than me or anyone else. So I have to pay attention to that and make sure that the Columbus Dispatch is just as strong and stronger as it relates to the changes that will be happening in the future, that we're ready and well positioned.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity so much.
If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please hit subscribe so you can get notified when new content comes out. Please share this with anyone who could be inspired by it, and feel free to post any questions so we can be inspired by new content. Thanks for listening. If you're interested in learning more, visit our website at bakercreative.co.